Let us pray. O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. If there are any children that want to come up and do children's liturgy of the word, please come forward. Fa bene. Good.
A reading from the book of Sirach. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given to him. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, we speak a wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. This God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. The word of the Lord.
Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever calls his brother Raca will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. Whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown in prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, 'You should not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it is said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all. Not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. So So I have a Fervorino, which is a brief homily before Brian gets up, but I need to be able to kind of put us in this context. You know, we have these readings from Jesus where he's going intense, but we have to remember a couple things first. The setting. We're still in the same Sermon on the Mount, right? So last 3 weeks, we've actually been in the same thing as the Beatitudes, right? So this is like 5 minutes later. Jesus is saying this right after the Beatitudes. So we have to be aware of that. And let's go back to the Beatitudes and what the Lord was doing in them. Right? The Lord was inviting us into something. He's inviting us into something. He's inviting us into his own life, his own heart, with the Beatitudes. He said at the homily a couple weeks ago that the Beatitudes are actually a marriage proposal. Why? Because what's another word for inviting somebody into mission with you? Marriage. It's marital. What he's saying is, God, myself, become a man, and I'm inviting you into my life, into my heart. So take these words on, take these actions on, trust in me, just simply be in relationship with me, and that'll change you. Just as I said, if you date somebody you really love, within the first month you already start taking on their mannerisms, right? They start impressing themselves upon you just simply by fact of relationship. In other words, relationship with him changes something in us. It revives our nature in a totally different way. So with that as a context for these readings, you can understand them a little bit more clearly. Because Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the commandments of the law, but to fulfill it. The commandments were given as a vehicle of relationship. It's just describing relationship. Relationship with the Lord. That's why he calls out the Pharisees and the scribes here. Because they don't use them as relationship. They use them as a tool to prove themselves as good. Right? In other words, the Pharisees are basically using the commandments as a kind of a performative self-righteousness tool. It's basically the same thing as a self-help book. They think the commandments are basically a self-help book, which really goes to the heart of Christianity, which Jesus is getting at here. We are not here in our religion, in our faith, to become better people. The whole point of this is not to become a good person. That's actually a result of something else. It's a derivative effect. It's a symptom of something, a good symptom of something. Just as, let me give you an example. When we are in relationship with somebody, we love them, they impact themselves upon us in this beautiful way. We begin to trust them. We begin to make our decisions, risky decisions, even, that we would not have done before. And these risky decisions, as it were, trusting somebody's vision, that's not my own necessarily, trusting what they see or what they experience, that's not my own, and taking a risk on them, I can do that because of that relationship. And it makes me more myself. It calls me out of myself. That's what Jesus is talking about, saying, I am coming to fulfill relationship. And how? The point of our religion is this. God has become man, and he dwells with us. He lives in you, and we get to speak to him, and he speaks to us. That's the whole point of our faith. There's nothing else. Nothing else. There was a Catholic writer in the mid-20th century, a guy from England named Evelyn Waugh, right? He wrote one of my favorite books called Brideshead Revisited. He was not a great guy, but he became Catholic, converted. And one of his close friends, he says to him, Evelyn, I cannot believe that you have the audacity to call yourself a Catholic, a Christian. And he goes, madam, if I wasn't a, like, as bad as I am now, if I wasn't a Catholic, if I wasn't that, I would be a monster. He has a point, right? It's a point. The point is that he wasn't doing that to try to become better. He is doing that because he experienced a God who loved him, and it actually did make him better. That, the better part was a result of this love that he experienced. And so this is what Jesus is getting at with all of this. He's inviting us into relationship with him. And so these commandments, this fulfillment of relationship that he's giving to us, is only shocking if we think that our faith is about being a good person, because we intuitively recognize that we can't fulfill these. I don't have the power to do this. How can I not lust? Uh-oh. The thing is that you have in your heart a desire for this. The Lord made you with that desire for this kind of stature and beauty and fullness of humanity. But the thing is that he said, I am going to do it in you. I'm going to be the one doing this work in you. You're not going to be doing it on your own, by your own. Be with me. Be with me. These are places where we can begin to surrender and trust in his presence. That's all they are. Opportunities to invite him into my relationships, to invite him into my life in a very concrete way. They're not about me trying to prove that I'm good. You have to understand that he loves you. He likes you with all of what you are, all of what you've experienced. He wants you. He just wants to dwell with you. And that leads to something radically new. Radically new. New places of surrender, trust, and riskiness. Riskiness only because we're so attached to our own pride and sense of self-control. It only feels risky for that reason. So how do we experience this? That's where I'm going to conclude. We experience this just simply by receiving him in the Eucharist. Right? Like literally, God is dwelling in you when you receive him in the Eucharist. He comes into your flesh. Comes into your flesh, and he invites you into himself, into his mission. He brings you into himself. Prayer, almsgiving, fasting, what we're about to experience here on Ash Wednesday for Lent. Prayer, which is just relationship and conversation with him. No longer saying, Lord, help me be better. Lord, help me be better is probably the worst prayer. The best one, love me. Love me. In the confessional, you'll never hear me say this. Try harder. Because the Lord doesn't tell you that. The Lord never says that to you. The Lord always repays sin with love. Just be with me. Because that's what ends up melting away my sinful actions. It's not me trying to use my own power once again that got me into sin in the first place to try to correct myself. I have to surrender to his love. Fasting is simply the experience of saying, I give you control. I'm not going to take that extra drink this Lent. I'm not going to pick up my phone like I normally do. I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. Not because those things are inherently evil. They're not. It's just because I use them as a form of control. And so I try to protect myself. So I'm going to give you that time and that space and that fast for you to show up and speak to me in a way that I really deeply desire. And almsgiving. To take the risk of giving my love to somebody else in a monetary form. It's a way of surrendering my life, because my money simply represents my life. That's all it is, a representation of my life. To give life to somebody else in a monetary way is taking a risk for the Lord, saying, I will provide for you. And also, I love them, and I will speak through all of these. So my friends, the Lord is inviting us into a great experience, a risky life, a dangerous life, an adventurous life. And it's a safe life, though. It's a safe life because he is present, dwelling with you, loving you moment, every moment. And with that, my friends, we have another invitation, which Brian Beach will be giving us, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's given to our church.
How to follow that. Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Brian Beach. I'm a member of the Parish Family 14 Pastoral Leadership Council, representing St. Benedict's, along with Phil Orkia and Nausicaa Zorzi. I'm here this morning to share some details about what has been happening with Partners in the Gospel over the last few months and hopefully help to prepare you for the next steps that are coming. First, I wanted to share a brief overview of the Partners in the Gospel. Partners in the Gospel is an initiative in the Archdiocese of Seattle that engages parishes to work more closely together, strengthening faith formation, and plan for a stable future through collaboration and shared leadership. The One Parish planning process helps us restructure and re-envision parish life as we prepare to become one canonical parish. The fruit of this discernment for Parish Family 14 will be our One Parish Plan, which will be submitted to the Archbishop for approval as part of forming a new unified parish for St. Alphonsus, St. John's, and St. Benedict's. The One Parish planning process is broken down into distinct phases to collect information on the past and present, to help focus our understanding of where our unified parish should go in the future. This measured and deliberate approach is meant to ensure as many voices are heard and considered. We're currently in the who are we phase, as Father said, which focuses on the understanding our parish family and the broader community we serve. As you may recall, St. Alphonsus, St. John, and St. Benedict each held listening sessions last fall with the goal of hearing what each parishioner felt were the challenges, opportunities, and gifts for their individual communities. This tried to encourage engagement from as wide a swath of parishioners to give as rich and complete a picture of where we have come from to where we are today. I'd like to share our deep gratitude for everyone who participated in this process so far. Your willingness to share openly about your faith, how this community at St. Benedict's has supported you, and the gifts and challenges that you have felt over your time here was humbling and reminded me of the impact that this church has made over the past 100 plus years. In the end, there were about 50 people from St. Benedict's who participated in our listening sessions, along with a group of young adults that spanned all three parishes. We put together a synopsis that is available at the end of Mass. Actually, I think I saw some of you with them already this morning. I'd encourage you to take one home with you and review it. From your responses, we found several themes that rang through very clearly. These themes included change, partnership, families, welcoming, outreach, inclusion, youth, compassion, faith-filled, and connection. Not a couple, to say the least. You also describe St. Benedict's as a welcoming, inclusive, loving, faith-filled, and service-centered parish and school community with deep relationships and vibrant family life. But parishioners feel increasingly anxious and unheard due to rapid changes, limited priest presence, and a lack of communication about the future. Our 20 young adults, representing all three of our parishes, described our parish family as alive in faith, welcoming, intergenerational, and rooted in reverent worship, where people are known by name invited into community, and encouraged to grow, serve, and live the gospel beyond the church walls. At the very end of the handout, there's a very nice summary that I think rings true for St. Benedict's. St. Benedict is a vibrant, loving, faith-filled community that wants to be heard, wants clarity, and wants a future. Parishioners are ready to collaborate, but they need relationships, communications, and a shared vision to move forward. That brings us to what happens next. The next phase of this process will involve listening sessions after Easter on the weekends of April 19th, 18th, and 19th, and April 25th, 26th, along with a one-weekday option. Currently, 5 sessions are being planned at various times and locations. Unlike the first set of listening sessions, these will not be parish-specific, allowing you to choose the best time for you to attend. This round of sessions will be different from the previous one. Rather than focusing on individual parishes, we will turn our attention to the next steps in building our parish family 14. Our conversations will center on the opportunities and challenges we face as one parish family. In preparation for the next round of listening sessions, you will receive the same synopses from St. Alphonsus and St. John's. In addition, the Pastoral Leadership Council is working with the parish family staff to put together information, including parish viability metrics, demographic reports, etc., that will be shared with you to help you better understand where we are and where there may be opportunities for growth. We strongly encourage you to join us so that your voice can be heard as we move forward together. While the Pastoral Leadership Council is working to collaborate between each church and consolidate everything we learn, we cannot do it without you. Phil, Nasika, and I, along with other St. Benedict Council members and some staff, will be available at Coffee and Donuts after Mass if you have any questions or would like to continue the conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, so once again, you know, like the listening sessions on like what are our gifts is, again, like, what does the Lord want give me, give us in our life? Because that helps us understand where he's wanting us to go. That's that one parish plan. So this next part, when we'll be giving you all the data, demographics of all of our zip codes. For example, in all of our zip codes combined right now, we have 85,000 people within our zip codes altogether. You'll get that information, all of our Mass attendance, finances, buildings, etc., all the way from like 1990, right? Because we need an actual scope, right, to see like what's actually happening and how the Lord is wanting us to utilize and to deploy gifts. Because if we're on a mission together, which we are, because we're the church, right, his body here below, he wants us to be able to understand how we are going to be using these beautiful gifts. So with that, my friends, let us please stand and offer our prayers and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and the Holy Spirit was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. Let's now turn our prayers and petitions before the Heavenly Father who loves us.
For the church, that she may be blessed with wise and faithful shepherds who hold fast to the truth. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the leaders of our nation, that they may promote the common good and seek justice for all people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those engaged in business, that they may strive to be just in all their dealings. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all married couples, the husbands and wives may become, by the grace of God, witnesses to charity and fidelity. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear.
For the faithful departed, especially from our own families and parish community, that they may rise with Christ and enjoy eternal rest. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear.
For our St. Benedict community, especially Maria Teresa Medina and her family, our parish family, and everyone included in our parish prayer tree. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the grace this week to remain honest and upright before the Lord, and to forgive those who have offended us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Heavenly Father, you with the Son and the Holy Spirit are a communion of love. Welcome us always into this communion, and if it be your holy will, answer these prayers which we have put before you through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please join us in singing number 529, Eye Has Not Seen, 529.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
Our good.
May this oblation, O Lord, we pray, cleanse and renew us, and make it become for those who do your will the source of eternal reward through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. In him you have been pleased to renew all things, giving us all a share in his fullness. For though he was in the form of God, he emptied himself, and by the blood of his cross brought peace to all creation. Therefore he has been exalted above all things, And to all who obey him has become the source of eternal salvation. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim.
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you in need of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, O Lord, the bread of life, the the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church, spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Leo, our Pope, and Paul, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them in the light of your face. Mercy on us all, we pray that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive
us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Christi custodiat me.
Please join us in singing number 337, Taste and See, 337.
Of the Lord.
Let us pray. Having fed upon these heavenly delights, we pray, O Lord, we may always long for that food by which we truly live, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Some announcements. First off, once again, thank you, Brian. And thank you also, Nausicaa and Philip, for being on the council. You guys are awesome. Thank you. So, first thing for this week, join us on Tuesday at St. John. St. Francis Ministry is reviewing a special film about some of the climate change and the reality of solar power and its beneficiality for our culture today. That's at February 17th, 6:30 to 7:30, St. John Parish Admin Building. And then we have Ash Wednesday. We have our penance service hashed within it, basically, meaning that starting at 6 p.m. at St. Alphonsus, we will have like 6 to 9 p.m. confessions. Ash Wednesday Mass is going to be at 7 p.m., right? And we'll have confessions through the whole thing, including the Mass. The Mass will end with actually a Eucharistic adoration as well, going from 8 to 9. You bring your friends to Ash Wednesday. Look, you don't need to be Catholic to, like, get ashes on your head, right? Look, guys, hey, this is the weirdest thing I do each year, all right? Like, I go and a random stranger puts ashes on my head, says I'm going to die, right? It's a great experience. Anyway, bring your friends. It'll be beautiful. Thursday, we have the beginning of our daily evening Mass here at St. Benedict and confessions with our new confessionals. We'll start at 5 p.m., end at 5:45, and then we'll have Mass at 6 p.m. Stations of the Cross for Lent begins this Friday. It's going to be on Fridays at 6 p.m. This Friday, it's at St. Alphonsus. Then finally, we have our Lent retreat, which will be on the 28th. Mark your calendars. It's 1 p.m. at St. Alphonsus Family Center, where Father Incolombizzo will be leading the retreat. Finally, we have free Lenten books for adults and teenagers that are available in the vestibule. Please pick one up along with the parish feedback. And today, the third Sunday of the month, we will take up a special collection for St. Vincent de Paul. I'm so sorry, guys. Please take an envelope from the pews and place your donation in the collection basket on your way out. Oh, there we go. Good. Lastly, as a reminder, look, you heard me preach the homily. Look, I don't judge anybody for the messiness of life. Things get crazy. I get that. So, if you're not married in the church, send me an email. Right? I ain't gonna judge you. Just life is crazy. No problems. Send me an email because we want you to be able to experience the goodness and the intensity of the sacrament. Right? What the Lord really desires to give through you to each other and therefore to the whole world through your marriage. So send me an email. We got a whole team that can handle it. It'll be great. And I just welcome you to do that if you're not married in the church. The Lord be with you. And Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Thanks be to God.
Please join us in singing number 730, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, 730.
Alleluia, sing.